When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome to The Tool Shed, a podcast covering all aspects of fantasy baseball to help you win all of your fantasy leagues. From the MLB draft all the way to the show, we're here to help give you the edge in your dynasty leagues. Now, here are your hosts, Eric Cross and Chris Clegg.
Welcome into another episode of The Tool Shed with Clegg and Cross, brought to you by Rotoballer. This is episode 293. Thank you for joining us. I'm your host, Eric Cross. And with me, as usual, is my 80-grade co-host, Mr. Chris Clegg. And Chris, today is an 80-grade day because as you're listening to this, it's opening day, baby. Chris, how pumped are you?
Very excited. I can't believe we've finally made it. It is going to be a good one. As you're listening to this, I hope you are excited, too, that baseball is finally back. There's no more waiting. All the work you've put in this offseason, it's now time to grind, baby. The season's on, and best of luck this year, and we hope that we will be able to bring you home some championships this year. I am very excited.
Although, unfortunately, in the time Chris was just talking, five more players got injured, and it's rough out there. So I had my last draft, the Rotoballer staff league the other night, and just trying to find some healthy arms in like the middle rounds. It was pretty tough, but... It is here. It's opening day. We have all the opening day rosters announced and some of these top prospects that made the team. Some didn't. It's always real quick, though. I love the videos of them telling the prospect that they made the team. They put the camera in the corner of a manager's office, bring the guy, a couple of coaches in the room, seeing the player's expression. It's always pretty cool. I want more of that. Just give me all the reaction videos. That's pretty cool. They know it's going to happen sooner or later anyway, but just realizing their lifelong dream of making it to the major leagues after all their hard work, that's always really cool to see. But with Langford the other day, who obviously earned his spot on that team for sure. But yeah, those are really cool. And we're going to talk a lot of these guys, most of the guys that did not make teams and who you should be stashing this year, who should be up early, kind of be focusing on those guys first half of the season. The guys, a lot of other names up second half of the season, but plenty of time to talk about those players in later episodes. But before we get into this episode, the usual housekeeping. You can find us on Twitter. Chris is at RotoClegg. I am at EricCross04. Show is at ToolShedPod. If you enjoy this podcast, please rate and review. Check out both of our personal platforms, thedynastydugout.com and ToolShedFantasy.com for more work from each of us. And make sure you check out all the other great stuff going on over at RotoBaller. So much top-notch content and tools to help you win this fantasy season. Baseball, basketball, football, everything. Use that code TOOLSHED, get you 10% off any premium package. Doesn't have to be baseball, although it should be, obviously. But any premium package, 10% off. Use that code TOOLSHED over at rotoballer.com. All right, Chris. So obviously the two biggest names that did not make their opening day rosters were two of the kind of tier one fantasy prospects right now. Jackson Holliday, Junior Caminero. We already knew Caminero. That came out a week ago or so, whatever it was. But I think Holliday was a pretty surprising omission from the opening day roster. I think we all thought it was trending that way. He'd be the opening day second baseman. Had a pretty good spring. K-rate was a little hard to come to know from Holliday, but still overall pretty solid spring. But it's probably just a matter of time before you see Holliday in that Baltimore lineup. So he's obviously an easy stash in any league right now, even 10-teamers.
Yeah, for sure. I think he's going to be up pretty quick. I was a little bit surprised that he did not make the team on opening day. It seemed like that one was as much of a lock as any of them. I thought Langford was a lock, and I thought that Holiday was a lock, but that wasn't the case. Obviously, good spring, all those good things. I think that Holiday is probably up within the first month. I would not be shocked at all if we saw him, I don't know, maybe end of April, early May. And if he is up, then I think you're going to be very happy you stashed him. I think the reward is worth the wait here with Holiday. He's going to be a very solid, high floor player. And I certainly want to be a part of that. So Holiday's a stash in most leagues, given that you don't have a super shallow bench. I think he is worth the chance that you go ahead and stash him and see how it plays out. But I think you won't have to wait too long for him to come around and be up and contributing at the major league level.
Now, who would you prefer stashing right now between him and Junior Caminero?
Probably Caminero. I think there's just more instant impact for fantasy purposes just because Caminero has that big power. And Holiday's going to be a good player. Don't get me wrong. And Holiday's got a high floor to hit. From a fantasy counting stats standpoint, I feel like I'd just rather go ahead and take the shot on Caminero, knowing that you can get the big power. I think they're both probably up at similar times. And if they played the same amount of games, then I would take Caminero.
Yeah, it's pretty close. If you guarantee me they'd be up at the same time, I don't know. This would be pretty much a coin flip for me. But I do think Holiday's up earlier because they brought up Curtis Meade, probably is making that opening day roster, Austin Shenton as well, which is pretty cool to see Austin Shenton get a shot. He's been actually raking in the upper minors the last couple of years, becoming one of those like older guys, like Vientos, the Bush, all them that are a little bit older and just raking up there in the upper minors, not getting a shot. So cool to see him get on there. But I outside of an injury, I'm not really sure where and how and when Caminero cracks this lineup. They got Isak Paredes, Brendan Lau. Obviously, he's been gotten hurt a lot, and you can move Paredes around if there was an injury. So maybe that's what it takes. Yeah, Harold Ramirez, a DH, who's nothing flashy, solid hitter, hits for average, always has. So I think Holiday is up first. So if I had to pick one of these two to stash, I'd actually probably lean Holiday, but both are, if you can afford to stash both, and if you had the bench base, obviously that's a great call there. So sticking in Baltimore here, Chris, when do you think we see Kobe Mayo? Obviously another top 10, top 15 fantasy prospect right now. Holiday's not in the lineup yet, so when do we see Mayo? Because let's say Holiday gets that call, that's probably at second base, you'd assume. Maybe Westy moves over to third, and Ramon Urias down more to a bench utility role. So where do you think we see, or excuse me, when do you think we see Kobe Mayo? And if you're playing in like a 12-team league or something like that, would you feel comfortable stashing him right now?
Yeah, I think Mayo has a big impact as well. Pretty quickly. I think his is a bigger question mark of when he comes up, but I think he's going to force their hand. So currently this lineup is looking like the infield, at least is looking like Gunnar Henderson at shortstop, Ramon Urias at third, Jordan Westberg at second, Ryan O'Hearn at first, and Ryan Mountcastle DHing. Here's what I think happens. I think you see Holiday come up, Holiday plays second, shifts Westberg over to third. I really don't think that O'Hearn is going to be someone. And O'Hearn was decent last year. Like, I don't want to discount what he did last year. He was fine. But I think that you could see Mayo come up and be an impact first baseman / DH, rotate with Mountcastle in and out of first base. It gives you a little bit of versatility. They signed Tony Kemp, but Tony Kemp isn't blocking anybody. Honestly, Ramon Urias is not blocking anybody, and Ryan O'Hearn isn't blocking anybody. If the Orioles are intent on winning, their best shot, in my opinion, is with Holiday and Mayo in the lineup, and both have proved they're ready. So I think we'll see them up fairly soon. Mayo maybe like a mid-May, early June type call-up, which is a little longer to wait. I know it's a little harder to wait and say, okay, I can wait on a Kobe Mayo, but I think he would be worth the wait. Like, you talk about a Junior Caminero type impact. Like, Mayo hits the ball incredibly hard. He makes good contact. And he plays in a better lineup than Caminero. I would think that he is one that could be a really solid asset to stash. If you have the chance, I think I would certainly look to stash him and see what happens.
Yeah, because I honestly don't think there's going to be like that big of a gap between Cameron Arrow and Mayo long term. Yeah, I'd take Cameron Arrow, obviously, and have him ranked higher. But is it going to be a massive gap? No, they both have huge power. You know, both solid hitters. I think Cameron Arrow's just a little bit better. If you're looking to stash Cameron Arrow, missed out on him, somebody else got him, somebody else drafted him, whatever, go out, go get Mayo. You know, maybe he's still available, and you're late, maybe someone dropped him because you didn't make the opening day roster. And yeah, I think he's going to break in. I mean, I think Holiday is up first, but Westbrook's no sure thing. I like Westbrook. He had some pretty solid metrics last year, good minor league track record as well, but he can move all around. And we've seen some of these guys get hurt. And we've seen Hayes miss some time. We've seen Mountcastle miss a decent amount of time. You know, Mullins, you know, and all these guys, they can shift around as well. So it doesn't, you know, it shouldn't take that much to get both of these guys into the lineup. And obviously, they're going to force their hand. These are two of the top 12 prospects in the game. So yeah, I definitely would look to the stash Kobe Mayo as well. But those are like the really big names for especially infield prospects. Break this up, infielders, outfielders, and pitchers. So outside of the big three, Chris, give me one infielder that would be your next top priority. I mean, there's a lot of other good guys, not on the level of Holiday, Cameron Arrow, or Mayo, but still a lot of other pretty good names here. So outside of those three, who's your next top infield stash right now?
It's probably Kyle Manzardo, just because I think we see him the quickest. I would say Brooks Lee, but he's hurt right now. He's a little banged up. He had some back spasms, and I think that he is going to be fine. I'm not particularly worried about him long term, but I do think that Manzardo is the first one up of this tear down of infielder prospects that we're looking at. And Manzardo is ready. Everybody was like, oh, Davison De Los Santos is going to take a spot. And I thought it was pretty clear all along that there was no way that De Los Santos made this roster. They weren't going to just keep him on the bench. Like, you don't take a hitter in the Rule 5 and just sit him on the bench and waste that bench spot away. And I thought that was pretty obvious. But you look at the rest of the lineup, and there's room for Manzardo to come up and play. Naylor is the first baseman right now, but Naylor can also DH. Naylor's played outfield in the past. I don't think that happens again. But the Guardians outfield situation is, it's not great, which opens up to somebody we'll talk about in a little bit in the outfield. But I do think that Manzardo could be up within the first month. And he was somebody that I thought should break camp, even though knowing Cleveland, how they operate, it wasn't something that was, you know, super likely, but he should have. That was the thing. So, you know, I think Manzardo for me is somebody to ultimately come up to stash, and that he will be up pretty soon.
Yeah, I can't see. Right now, you may be seeing Naylor at first, being like Will Brennan or some other guy at DH. I just don't think this group of players is going to keep Manzardo out of the lineup long, or even Chase DeLatter, who, as Chris mentioned, we'll talk to about in a little bit here. So yeah, they need more impact bats in this lineup. Yeah, it's solid 1 through 4, but the bottom 5 in this lineup is not really that good. Like, you're rolling out Ramon Laureano, Will Brennan, Bo Naylor's solid, but Tyler Freeman, you know, Rocio. So getting these two guys into the lineup sooner rather than later, two guys that are ready or nearly ready in the Lauder's case, it's going to be key for them. So yeah, Zardo's a good one. Yeah, I like Brooks Lee a lot. I was guilty of ranking Brooks Lee too low initially, and just in the FYPD last year. Thought he was a solid bat, but just didn't really see like a big impact. And yeah, he's not a Kobe Mayo or Junior Cameron Arrow, but it's a good blend of hit and power here. That he's hitting for more power than I ever thought he would. Maybe he's a 25 homer bat at this point. Could play short and third. And unfortunately, those two guys there in Minnesota, Correa, he's had the issues over the years, back issues. Royce Lewis, I really don't want Lewis to get hurt, so please know. Lewis does have 2 ACL tears under his belt so far. And Kirilov's going to be DHing a little bit. Like, there's a lot of injury risk guys in this lineup. So I could see, assuming Brooks Lee isn't hurt for long and it's just like a minor thing, I think Brooks Lee is another pretty big impact guy, nearly on the level of Manzardo. I would rather stash Manzardo there, but I think Brooks Lee can come up, maybe gives you dual eligibility as well, you know, depending on the game is played thresholds in your league. And yeah, I think he's going to be a solid blend of hit and power right away. So he's another good one here to stash. And keeping it right there in the American League Central, Chris, with Colson Montgomery with the Chicago White Sox. Obviously, a bit of a rebuild patch here for the White Sox. They're starting Paul DeJong at shortstop. Moncada's still over there at third. And DeJong did have some good moments in his career a handful of years back, but obviously not really an impact player anymore. When do you think we see Montgomery get the call? Maybe they give him, I'm feeling like June on Montgomery, couple months in the upper minors, or maybe even sooner. If Paul DeJong isn't hitting well, then they don't really have any other option. They have Braden Shumake. Maybe he steps in for a little bit. We'll see. But pretty clear path for Montgomery. And if he starts the season hot, I think we see him up by the end of June.
I think so, too. I was listening to White Sox GM Chris Getz just talk about him today, about how he is a special player. He will be in AAA to begin the year. And really, I don't think he has a whole lot to prove. We've seen this, like, when he's healthy, he's really good. We talked to him in the AFL, and he said he was out to prove that he could play shortstop. And he's a good enough athlete. He plays short. There's no doubt in my mind that he could be up pretty quickly. I think you're right on with the June kind of target date. Maybe it's mid-June. I'm not sure. I could see them just keeping him down in AAA because why not? But at the end of the day, I think it's time for them to see what they have in Colson Montgomery. And I believe that it's a real possibility that he gets 300 major league plate appearances this year. Yep. I don't think he's that far off. And I think that they showed that by starting him in AAA, which, you know, I'm excited to see what he looks like and how he performs. But there's a lot to like here with this profile.
Absolutely. Yeah, just another guy that's got pretty solid in the hit and power department. Not a big speed guy. One of the better hitters in the minor leagues right now. So, yeah, I definitely think he's a solid stash. Probably more in deeper leagues. If you're in a 12-teamer, probably not looking to stash him right now. More of a keep an eye on him. And when that call-up seems to be getting closer, maybe you go out and get him then. But not like a super high-priority stash, but someone that we do think could make an impact and be up first half of the season. A couple other infielders here that really intrigue me, though, that we have on the list here, Chris. But two guys that don't really have a super clear path right now, both in the National League Central, with Tyler Black with Milwaukee and Thomas DeJesus with the St. Louis Cardinals. Looks like Black's played third base last year, could probably shift over to second. I mean, he did play second base in the past. Right now, they're rolling with Bryce Terang and Joey Ortiz at the Keystone and Hot Corner. Obviously, Joey Ortiz, pretty enticing prospect. Terang offers you a little bit of something, maybe a 10 home run, 20 steal guy over a full season, but neither one are locks in those positions. If either of them start off slow out of the gate, I think you could see a guy like Tyler Black come up and give you that solid speed from a position that you don't usually get a ton of speed from outside of your Joe Rams and your Key Brian Hayes or so. So do Sajazy or Black intrigue you right now, Chris?
Yeah, so JC's just blocked, which is the tough thing. And even with a lot of injuries, like, there's not a great fit for him in St. Louis. I think he does fit a utility role pretty well. And I do think he may be an infield injury away from coming up. But we do have to remember that Tommy Edman will be back at some point. I don't think he's out for too long. Newt Barr is going to miss a little bit of time. But when this all shakes out, like, if Victor Scott performs well in the outfield, they're not going to demote him. He's going to stick. And you have to find spot. Edmund could bump back to second base. Gorman could go to DH. There's a lot of options here of how this really plays out. And I do think he's probably an injury or two away from getting a chance. And there's already been a couple injuries. So that's at least a little bit of a concern. With Milwaukee, I don't think that there's a lot blocking Tyler Black at this point. We know Hoskins is going to play over at first. They have Bryce Terang at second, Ortiz at third. There's a possibility that if Terang doesn't hit, you just slot Joey Ortiz over there at second base, and third base opens up for Black, who is a corner infielder. Black's also got some work in the corner outfield, but that's probably where Milwaukee is the deepest. In the day, it's going to be tough for him to find a spot. But I do think it's a possibility that he does. So I think Black is probably the better play of these two between him and Sejacy, just because there is a better potential outcome, or at least possibility, that he gets up and plays sooner.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. I like them both pretty equally. I think long-term, the value on these two guys probably pretty close. But, yeah, for 2024, I would rather stash Tyler Black. Because, like you mentioned, like, there's a lot of versatility in the infield. You move guys around. And, like I said, you know, neither one of those two are locks. Yeah, I still think Black is a pretty solid stash with that speed impact that he brings to the table. All right, let's move over to the outfield now. And I think two of my favorite stashes in general, regardless of position, yeah, Holiday, Kevin Arameo, but these next two guys are right there too. And I even have one of them ranked higher than Kobe Mayo. So you get Jason Dominguez with the Yanks, Chase DeLauder with the Guardians. Now, DeLauder was one of the best hitters in all of spring training this year. And Dominguez, if he didn't get hurt, Chris, where do you think if Dominguez, like, didn't get hurt last year and just performed pretty well. Maybe didn't tear the cover off the ball like he was that first week, but performed well. You think he'd be, man, I think he'd probably be like in a Royce Lewis range of the ADP. Maybe not quite Royce Lewis, but I think still top 100. So, yeah, you're missing him for, what, probably a month and a half, 2 months. But if you get 400 or so plate appearances out of Dominguez this year, you could look at 20 home runs. You could look at 10 to 15 steals to go along with it. That's still a big impact. I've been trying to get him everywhere I can, where especially in deeper formats where I can afford to hold him on my bench for a bit until he's back, or even deeper benches and 12 and 15 teamers. I think he's going to be a massive impact player. So Dominguez, Chase DeLauder obviously has that big power speed blend. I think he's nearly ready. I think he's up by end of June as well. So I think these are the two really big outfield stashes right now to start the season.
Yeah, Dominguez is somebody I took in pretty much every draft and hold league where I could, just because at the end of the day, he's going to give you very solid contribution when he comes back. He's ahead of schedule, too, which is nice. I think that he probably gets back in minor league games by May, and then he's up back in the majors by June. So even if you got 3 full months, I think you'll get more, but 3 full months I would be totally thrilled with, because the cost was so low. Like, he was a 30th round pick in pretty much every draft that I got him in. So I would gladly take Dominguez at that price. I think he is well worth a stash. And obviously a draft and hold is a 50 round league where there are deeper benches, so it's a little easier to do it there. But I still think you're right. If he had stayed healthy, he's an easy top 100 pick this year. And ultimately, I'd be very excited to see what he could do. And I think we'll see it on full display this year when he is back up. But for the time being, I am certainly stashing Dominguez, and I think you'd be very happy to do so.
Yeah, absolutely. And when he's back, he's going to get into that lineup. Yeah, they got Soto, Judge, Verdugo. I could easily see them pushing Verdugo to a fourth outfielder role.
Yep.
Or maybe someone's hurt by then. There's a lot of injury risk in this lineup. Just please don't let it be Soto. I have so many shares of Soto. Yeah, you're going to get Dominguez for half a season, 2/3 of a season, something like that, and probably get a pretty high impact. And then, as you mentioned earlier, with Cleveland, who is holding back Chase DeLauder at this point, outside of just them getting him more time, more seasoning in the minor leagues? Stephen Kwan, solid hitter. He'll be hitting leadoff for them, score a decent amount of runs, hit for a good average, maybe steal you 15, 20 bags. But outside of that, Ramon Laureano, he's fine, but he's not holding back Chase DeLauder. Will Brennan's not holding back Chase DeLauder. Tyler Freeman's not holding back Chase DeLauder. Chase DeLauder could be the third best hitter in that lineup right now, maybe even second best hitter in that lineup. That's how good DeLauder is. We saw that this spring training. He was hitting for power, hitting for average, stole a couple bags. I think you get, let's say you get two-thirds of a season out of DeLauder, you get 400, 450 plate appearances. He could easily go 2010. And if he's up early enough, don't be surprised if he forces his way into this AL Rookie of the Year picture. It's a very crowded race. Obviously, Caminero, Holiday, Langford, Carter, etc. So many good names, Mayo. But I think DeLauder is going to force his way into that picture. He had two phenomenal stashes here. You could get top 100 value from them once they are up this season, given that blend of power and speed and production overall that these guys are going to give you. Not like a ton of other big name outfielders that are going to be up early this season that aren't already on major league rosters. Obviously, Langford and all of them made it. But Heston Kjerstad is another interesting one, Chris. And we go back to Baltimore here. It's just an embarrassment of riches with them. They already have a great lineup, and they got this Kjerstad and even Connor Norby to go along with Mayo and Holiday just waiting in AAA. If you're near Norfolk, go check out a game before these guys are up. It's going to be a fun lineup there for sure. So when do you think we see Kjerstad? Obviously had a pretty decent debut, hit for some power right away. We knew he was going to. Mullins already had an injury scare. He's fine for opening day. So right now outfield's running Mullins, Santander, and Austin Hayes with Mounty at DH. You thinking it's going to take an injury to see Kjerstad this year? Or early on, I should say?
Yeah, sadly, that's the reality. Is you look at this lineup, and we've already talked about a couple of really talented guys who just are struggling to find playing time right now, which is crazy. And so I think that's what's going to have to happen. Is Kowser's already fighting for time right now, which kind of sucks. But I think Kowser is going to have to play 4 days a week to justify having him on the major league roster. Otherwise, it's a complete waste of talent to not play him there. I think that would be foolish to not play him while he's up on the major league roster. But then you look and across the board, and Mullins, he's not going to take a seat. Santander, probably not taking a seat. You have Austin Hayes, who is probably your best case to take a seat, but they're still got to find a spot for Kjerstad. Kowser's got to find a spot first, as well as Kjerstad. I think it's going to take a couple of injuries for him to jump in this lineup, sadly. But you also have Kyle Stowers looming, who has debuted and had a really solid spring. You have several other guys. You have Peyton Burdick now in the system, which I'm not sure he's much of a factor, but he's been up in the majors before. There's Ryan McKenna, who has played in the majors. He's been optioned. So there's the Norfolk outfield is loaded with players and outfielders that have made the MLB. So I don't know. It's weird to figure out how this thing shakes out. But right now, I don't feel great about Heston Kjerstad getting time. I think he may be best suited for a trade.
I'm really surprised that trade hasn't happened yet. I really thought it would after Bradish went down with that injury. And they're still waiting on Means to get right. You know, Batista, obviously, in the bullpen. But I was shocked, whether it was Cease or whoever else, I was shocked that they could trade like two of these guys and still have a surplus. That's like the thing with Baltimore. And it's funny, you look at the roster resource page, and let's look at the how acquired column, drafted, Rule 5 on Santander, free agent O'Hearn, drafted, waivers on Urias, drafted, all the guys in AAA, drafted, they've done so well. I'm surprised they didn't dip into that, and they could trade away two, even three of these guys for an ace, to pair with G-Rod, to pair with Burns. They already did. Obviously, we know they did with Burns. I thought they would do it again and just really hammer that pitching staff, especially after the Bradish injury. So I don't know. I don't know how it's all going to work out. I want to see Kowser get in. I like Kowser a bit more than Kjerstad. I think obviously he offers a little bit of speed. So we'll see how he gets into the lineup here. Hopefully it's at least close to regular time. We'll see. But yeah, Kjerstad, I like Kjerstad in general. I'm just not really sure how he's fitting in. And you can say the same thing about Pete Crow Armstrong out in Chicago now, obviously with Cody Bellinger back in the fray, though he used to play mostly first, but he can play center field as well. They got Mike Tauchman out there, they got Ian Happ, they got C.S. Suzuki, Morel can play outfield too. So I think the easiest path is that they keep Morel over at third. Tauchman just doesn't hit well, which he's not a lock to hit. He's had some flashes, but obviously probably more of a fourth outfielder long term. So I think that is the path there. So if you throw PCA into this mix. Would you rather stash PCA over Kearsad right now?
Potentially, just because PCA provides a lot of value with his glove. Like from a real life team perspective, he has the better chance to contribute something that the Cubs need. And I think this is just a service time thing. Talkman's not blocking him. Like it's he's just not. So PCA will be up and he's going to be contributing. And I think it's a lot of that has to do with his glove. And that is the factor that pushes him up much quicker. Obviously, PCA brings a lot more to the table as far as when you look at the speed. He has a little pop too. He has a really fun profile, but I think we see him much sooner and contributing more this year. So I would be more comfortable saying I would stash PCA.
Yeah, I think there is a slightly clearer path to playing time with him. And I think he's a better all-around fantasy player as well with the speed he also brings to the table. You know, I think the bats, you know, if you're just looking at just the bat, probably pretty similar, maybe even give Kearsad the edge. But when we factor in that speed, yeah, I think PCA is a better stash right now. You know, any other outfielders you're looking at, Chris? Maybe some Drew Gilbert, and what, maybe Spencer Jones. I'm not quite sure when he's up. But any other outfielders you'd be looking to stash here or you're keeping an eye on that might be up first half of the season?
Yeah, Jones is one that I wish would be up sooner, but yeah, I'm not sure there's space for him. Drew Gilbert, we know he's starting in AAA, which is big. I don't know how much the Mets actually push him. So he's one that I'm kind of, I don't really know. So the outfield's a little tougher as far as stashes go, but I think when you look at Dominguez de Lauder and PCA are probably the ones that I would say those are the targets that I would look to stash.
Yeah. One other name I'll throw into the mix here, especially with all the injuries this team has already endured so far this spring and a suspension, I think you could see Blake Dunn fairly early this season. Now, yep. Right now you're going to have Spencer Steer in left, but obviously he can really play anywhere on the diamond. I think he's eligible at first, second, and third as well, depending on your league thresholds. You got Jake Fraley out there. You got some Will Benson, but you're going to be out without TJ Friedl for, they said 6 to 8 weeks, I believe is the last thing I heard on him. And obviously Jake Fraley's had some injury concerns in the past. And outside of that, they got Stuart Fairchild, Bubba Thompson. Yeah, those guys aren't going to, you know, step in and be full-time players. So I think you could see Blake Dunn in the first half of the season. And he's got a pretty fantasy-friendly profile. Obviously went over 20-50 last year. I'm not expecting him to be over 20 home runs, but he's got some pop and at Great American Ballpark. This is a guy that could run into 17, 18 home runs over a full year with 20 plus steals and decent average. So I think Blake Dunn is a pretty sneaky stash, deeper format for sure. But just a guy to keep an eye on that you could probably not have to, you know, pay a lot of fab for once he's up, or a guy that you won't have to rush out to the waiver wire to add him in daily leagues like that. So you Blake Dunn another name to keep an eye on. But yeah, Jones is one too I would love to see up. Obviously we've both seen him live, very exciting player. Obviously he's gonna be behind Dominguez, and once Dominguez is back, it's gonna be really hard to get him in. I think he does debut, but I feel more like July, August for Spencer Jones. But all right, let's go over to the pitching well here, because we got a lot of names here to talk about on the mounds. I think the biggest one, not the biggest two, but let's just start with Paul Skeens, who, especially me, and I can't remember if you were along the same line of thinking. I think you might have been. I thought he'd be up later in the season and was definitely wrong on that, because he's starting at AAA. So I think that signals, all right, he's going to be up sooner rather than later. And I you mentioned, obviously, you had him in your bold predictions thing here we did last episode. But so he's an easy stash. He might be the number one pitching stash right now, because this, you know, back end of that Pittsburgh rotation is not good to be nice about it. And obviously Skeens is, if not the best pitching prospect in the game, he's 1B to Jobe's 1A, depending how you rank those two, and could be a massive impact. Like someone was asking me earlier today on Twitter if Skeens could make a Yuri Perez like impact right away. Yeah, I think pretty damn close to it. So there's no other pitcher right now. I mean, even Tiedemann, some of the good names we have on the list. No other pitcher I'd rather stash right now than Paul Skeens, if you can. Obviously, you probably can't, but if you somehow can, go out and get him right now.
I agree. I don't think that he's in AAA long. I think that was very telling that they put him in AAA. And I think it's just a matter of time. Obviously, nobody's blocking Paul Skeens from coming up, and being in that rotation. And at this point, he's not just going to sit in AAA all year. Let's just be honest. There's no way that happens. I think he's in AAA, as I said on our last episode, probably for five starts at most. And then he's up in the majors. So Skeens is the easiest stash for any pitcher, in my opinion. But he will be up and contributing at a high level very soon.
Yeah, and then right after him, the next biggest name would be Ricky Tiedemann with the Toronto Blue Jays. And right now, start the season, obviously you got Kevin Gausman, you got Barrios, Chris Bassitt, Yusei Kikuchi. And then right now, probably getting Bowden Francis, who had a pretty good spring, absolutely did. But I'm not like fully sold on him as a full season rotation option there for Toronto. So I do think you see a lot of Ricky Tiedemann this year. How much? How effective is he? Obviously, one of the highest upsides in the game, but we've seen him deal with some command issues, too many walks at times, and just hasn't had a lot of innings under his belt. He's had a hard time staying healthy, but this could be a top 50 arm once he is up, especially with that strikeout upside he has. This is a potential 30-plus percent K-rate guy. He can miss bats with the heater, with the slider, with a pretty good changeup as well. So he's going to give you those Ks right off the bat. And I think everything people want with Harrison, Tiedemann's going to give you, and then some. I would obviously rather stash Skeens right now, but if you missed out on Skeens and you want the next kind of highest upside arm, yeah, that's Tiedemann for sure.
Yeah, I agree. I think that if Tiedemann's healthy, he's probably not down very long. Yeah, I think that it is interesting mix of how this rotation shakes out, and obviously we know how it's shaken out for now. But I'm not sure it sticks that way. You also have Yariel Rodriguez, who is potentially going to be worked up as a starter, which he's been a bullpen guy for several years. So that's interesting to me. But I think Tiedemann is at the top of the priority to get into this rotation. If he's healthy, not going to waste the bullets in AAA. Maybe another Paul Skeens case where he's not down very long before he comes up to Toronto. Like I said, only take one of those guys faltering for him to take a spot. Yeah, he's probably not taking a spot from any of the top four. Like, I don't see Yusei Kikuchi losing a spot. I would be a little surprised, but at the end of the day, like, he's in the last year of his contract. He's getting 12 mil. It's not like he's getting, like, massive money, so it wouldn't shock me if we saw Yusei potentially lose it, but I think Bowden Francis is the potential one that could lose a spot, if anybody.
Yeah, I think it'd be Francis. And Kikuchi's had some injuries, too. Who hasn't had injuries at this point? So, obviously, anything can happen, especially with pitchers these days. So, moving on here, similar situation after we talked the big hitting names. It's a drop-off after Skeens and Tiedemann in terms of pitchers that are going to be up early, can make an impact. Chris, who is your, after Skeens and Tiedemann, who's your next favorite pitching prospect to stash? Because for me, I'm going Christian Scott. I like a lot of these names we have on the list. You know, but I'm going Christian Scott. He looked really good this spring training. Velocity's up a little bit from where it was last year when I saw him in July. So about a mile an hour up on the sinker. You know, the sweeper's really good. Got a decent changeup as well. And obviously not the flashiest guy around. But I guess, as I said last episode, I call him Diet Kirby for a reason. I think he could be low walk rate guy. So solid, but not great K rate. But this gives you good ratios. I think he's going to be up for bare minimum 20 starts and probably more like 25 or so. Maybe not the flashiest stash, but flashy doesn't always win, and he's going to give you some pretty good innings this year. So my next favorite one, the stash here, though I like a lot of these names, is Scott. Who would you go with?
Yeah, Scott's a good one. I think that he sees time pretty soon. I'm going to go with probably Will Warren, Yankees. Obviously, Gerrit Cole's out. They've given Luis Gil that fifth spot. I'm not sure how long that lasts, if I'm being honest. Hill's been interesting, but I'm not really sure I buy the command there. And some of their other rotation members haven't really been the picture of health either. So that's obviously a concern that Cortez hasn't been healthy over the years. Carlos Rodon especially not been healthy. So I think there's opportunity for Will Warren to step in the Yankees rotation. Clayton Beater's up in a long relief role, and I like Beater a decent bit too, so he could step in and get starts, but I still think that Will Warren, a guy that has a lot of seasoning in AAA, will see his time sooner than later, and he's certainly polished enough and ready to be in that major league rotation. He had a good spring. He has a good arsenal, not the flashiest, but one that I think will, you know, be very solid. So I'm pretty amped about what Will Warren can do, and I think we see him pretty quickly.
Yeah, I think we do as well. And the other four names we have on the list here are, you know, two from two organizations each. But some of the other big names, before we get to those names, obviously Painter's out for the year. I don't think we see Cade Horton first half of the year, probably more second half with him, though. You know, maybe he forces the Cubs' hand and gets up first half, and obviously he's a top five pitching prospect in baseball. But the other two names that we have here, two from the White Sox and two from the Atlanta Braves. First with the White Sox, we got Drew Thorpe, who's bounced around this offseason from the Yankees to the Padres, now to the White Sox, and Nick Destrini as well, both of which didn't make the opening day rotation. Thought Destrini would, thought Thorpe might, but you know, Thorpe didn't have a great spring either. But like right now, that rotation is Garrett Crochet, Michael Soroka, Eric Fede, Chris Flexen, not really beacons of durability or performance or experience as starters. So I think we see a good amount of both these guys this year. But if you could stash one of these two, Chris, between Destrini and Drew Thorpe, who would you go with?
I think it's probably Destrini, who is probably up when they need a fifth starter. I think he's next guy up, especially considering they move Kopech to the bullpen. That's one less threat. Nastrini's pitched in AAA already. And to me, it seemed like that he was the guy that was going to be up as soon as they needed. And even though the AAA rotation has some pretty fun names, yeah, I think that we see Nastrini, and just looking at this rotation in AAA, I'm going to make a trip to Charlotte to see some of these guys. So I want to see Iriarte if he's actually in AAA. I'm not sure if that's confirmed or not, but that'd be a lot of fun. I think Nastrini is the guy, though. I think he's up within the first 2 to 3 weeks, honestly.
Yeah, that rotation is going to be fun in AAA. It's probably a better AAA rotation than a major league rotation.
It's wild, but you're not wrong.
It's Drew Thorpe, Nick Destrini, Jared Schuster, Jake Eater, and Jairo Iriarte, potentially. It's pretty like Schuster's the five there. That's pretty damn good when you got two or three like, top 100 overall pitching prospects, or overall prospects, I should say. So yeah, pretty solid rotation there for AAA Charlotte. And, you know, I go back and forth on this. Long term, I do like Thorpe more. But if you're looking for immediate impact, I do think Nastrini's up sooner. So if that's what you're looking for, or if you can afford to wait a little bit longer, go Thorpe. Just depends on how deep your benches are, if you're looking for more immediate production or not, or looking for more of an upside play. But two pretty solid arms there for sure. Let's close it out with your Atlanta Braves, Chris. Obviously, the rotation pretty stacked to start the season. Strider, Fried, Morton, Sale, Reynaldo Lopez. So no spot right now for the duo of Adrius Machaber and Hurston Waldrip. Both obviously very talented arms. Both could be considered top 10 pitching prospects, or if not, very close to it. Obviously, Bryce Elder's in the mix as well. So not just those two guys fighting it out for starts this year. Obviously, Fried had a little bit of an arm issue last year. Hopefully, that's not an issue this year. Morton's 40 years old. Chris Sale, and Lopez, he looked good this spring and earned that spot, no doubt about it. You know, doesn't have the longest track record starting. Could see some time here, but like ultimately, Chris, how many starts do you think we're seeing from Adrius Machaber and Waldrip, and who would you rather stash out of the two?
Yeah, I know I'd rather stash AJ Machaber. When I look at this rotation, yeah, I'm a little bit concerned. I know I've seen it thrown out there like best rotation in baseball, which is interesting for me to hear.
It could be. If they're healthy, yeah.
Yeah, if all these guys are healthy, then I think it's really good, depending on what Morton does, obviously. But Morton is 40. You have Fried, who struggled with injuries. I will say Fried's in a contract year, so I think Fried's going to have a really good year and potentially stay healthy. Strider, you can trust to be Strider. But can we really trust Lopez? I don't know. Chris Sale has looked good all spring. He's looked healthy, but I'm not going to say that I'm confident in that yet. And I think Elder can come up in a pinch and give you innings, but I think AJ Smith-Shawver is still the one to stash. And his arsenal looked much improved this spring to it, what it was already a really good arsenal. So I think Waldrop still has some seasoning and development to be had, but right now I would stash Shawver, who I think probably gives you 10 to 15 starts. I'm hoping I'm on the higher side there with 15, but we'll see. I'm pretty confident that I don't want to say I'm confident that somebody gets hurt, but it seems likely that there will be injuries in this rotation and AJ Smith-Shawver will get his chance. So I would look to stash him between him and Waldrop for sure.
Yeah, if we're talking this year, which obviously we are, I do lean Smith-Shawver as well. I do think Waldrop has a slightly higher upside long-term, though it's pretty close between these two guys. Both are very talented arms. Probably a little bit of a higher floor for Smith-Shawver, maybe a slightly higher upside for Waldrop. So it depends on what type of profile you like more. But this year, I do think that in terms of the pecking order there in Atlanta on the pitching side of things, I do think Smith-Shawver is ahead of Waldrop. But we shall see. But a lot of fun names there to stash or just keep on your radar for when they might get the call up to go out and get them in your fantasy leagues. But that's going to wrap us up for this episode. Thanks to all the listeners for tuning in. We hope you enjoyed it. We'll be back with you again next week with some regular season talk. But until then, everyone take care.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.